This is the MSO News Sports Weekend High School Football Scoreboard Show. I'm Bill Newell along with John Squires and Tim Kearns. We're here to talk about the weekend football, first weekend of MIAA tournament play. And Tim and John, let's begin with the games from Saturday that we were at. And let me begin with you, Tim. You were up at Hamilton-Wenham for the, it can't be both Hamilton and Wenham. It's got to be, you were probably in Hamilton, right? Isn't that where the high school is? I think it's actually in Hamilton. We say that all the time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'll tell you, they played like one unit yesterday. They got on the board very, very quickly, and the Wayland Peach connection is something to be witnessed. They are so connected in terms of timing, in terms of positioning, Wayland's ability to pick up Peach down the field, Peach's ability to get open, to signal his quarterback that he wants the ball, and Wayland's ability to just put it in his hands on the run. We're good for three touchdowns, Jesse, that really broke Salem's back. And Salem played well the first half, and then Hamilton went into overdrive and just put the game away.
Final score there, 31-10, Hamilton Wenham over Salem. Again, I thought that was going to be a much closer game than it turned out to be. Was it close at all as far as total yardage, or was it that lopsided?
Yeah, in the first half, Hamilton Wenham had, I think it was about 20 yards more offense. I think it was like 210-190. Both teams were moving the ball. Salem was very effective on the ground, using the attack between the tackles. Hamilton Wenham too fast to the lateral, to the sidelines for Salem to get outside. So they just pounded the ball inside and moved the ball quite efficiently to the point where they actually had a 10-7 lead over Hamilton Wenham before Hamilton Wenham came back and took a 14-10 lead and never surrendered it.
Mm. So they host Arlington Catholic next Saturday because they're the top seed. So another home game for Hamilton Wenham next weekend. John, you were over in Swampscott?
Yeah, I was over in Swampscott, but one thing before we move on to that is those two teams, that Hamilton-Wenham looks like they should be able to take care of Arlington Catholic. And Stoneham, they look like they're on a crash course with Stoneham, who will lead into the Swampscott. Might talk about Swampscott a little bit in that tough Middlesex league. So that could be a beauty if both of those teams win next week, Hamilton-Wenham, Stoneham, probably the two top teams in that division. Yeah, I was over at Swampscott yesterday. They lost a heartbreaker. They lost 31-27, back-and-forth affair. You were there, too, Bill. It was just Colin Furry had three more touchdown passes. He has 24 for the season now. It looked like the Blue was going to go ahead. And then with about 5 minutes to go, Watertown broke a long pass for about 86 yards and went ahead. And Swampscott, Jake McIntyre, give Swampscott and Jake McIntyre credit. He returned one to midfield. They got down to the 29-yard line, had four chances. And the last one was tipped away in the end zone. But give Watertown credit. They come from a tough Middlesex league. They're well-coached. They're well-prepared, tough kids. And they're going to be a tough team to beat, but they have a beauty coming up next weekend over Dilbo Field against a strong Somerville team who I think may win that division.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is Swampscott lost Cottis Spotty, their top defensive, one of their top linebackers in the third quarter. He actually goes out on an injury where he hits a Watertown runner for a loss on the play. But I got to tell you too, John, Watertown was a very good team. I mean, they come out of the Middlesex League. They're one of the smaller schools in that league. But they have some athletes on that team. And that's the old adage, Middlesex League versus Northeastern Conference. I don't care what the seedings are. You know, that was a tough draw, I think, for Swampscott.
Absolutely. And you know something else, too? Watertown does that in all sports. They play a 1-2 schedule during the season in basketball, and then they drop down to Division III. Fits in Division III, and Coach Harrington over there in basketball does a great job, and I can speak that firsthand. They knocked out, when my boys were playing at Fenway, they knocked them up by 2 points, which then went on to win the state tournament. But they're well-coached. They're tough. You got to remember, too, is I think they were 3-1 earlier, at least 2-0 early in the season. They're one of the top teams in that division. So, and then they had to play Melrose. They had to play Stoneham. They didn't play Lexington, but that league is real, real tough. Another example is Wakefield gave Marblehead all they could handle Friday night. So, and you're right about that. That league is, I think, just a little bit tier ahead of the Northeastern Conference and Cape Ann League. So those Watertown teams are well represented, and they do a great job come tournament time.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny, I think one of the advantages that those Middlesex teams have is they're a bit larger in population, so they're drawing from a larger pool of boys, and certainly, you know, like you said, those guys beat up on each other all year long, and they're just looking for someone else to hit.
Well, the other thing too, Tim, you have to remember the smaller teams in that division, Stoneham, Watertown, those smaller teams play those larger teams, and as you know, when you play better teams, you're going to get better. You play teams that like that have larger populations, you're going to get better. They got to play the Rennings, the Melroses, the Lexingtons, et cetera, et cetera. So then when Watertown drops down to division, and look at Stoneham all the way down to the Division Six, they compete very well, and they're well prepared. So, you know, those smaller teams compete well against the larger schools.
Let me, John, I'm going to go back to Swampscott in a moment, but I just want to touch on the Lynn English 36-0 win over Winchester yesterday. That Winchester was missing their quarterback, who was out with an illness. So that gave an advantage to the Bulldogs, no question about it. But they had the score 36-0 at the halftime. They just ran out the second half, basically at Manning Field. But Prince Brown had a monster day. He had two very long touchdown passes, ran for another touchdown. He probably had about 300 yards, and we've seen Prince Brown this year. And this kid is unbelievable, but he's a receiver, and of course Matt Severance engineered the whole thing, and their defense has been very tough as well this year. So they roll on. They have another home game coming up Friday night. They'll be back home in the next round of the tournament, with the Bulldogs being the number one seed. And John, I know you were back at Swampscott talking with legendary television sportscaster Mike Lynch, his old hometown in Swampscott.
Yeah, he's a great guy, very good friend, and I've played with him. He was 2 years behind me, but I've basically played sports with him almost from the time he was in the fifth and sixth grade. But I got a chance to talk to him a little bit. We reminisced about a couple things. Remember the glory days when San Juan the Leverage had that undefeated streak of 32 games? He, unfortunately, was the quarterback of the team that lost to St. John's Prep that beat that streak after 32 wins. And then people don't really remember, but after that, Swampscott went on and won close to 30 more, so they won 54 out of 55 games from 1967 to 73, and they won a Super Bowl. So I was fortunate enough to play in three of those teams. But he talked a little bit about, he was reminiscing about one of the last times he played here. It was on Thanksgiving Day against Newburyport, Jimmy Stalen's team, and he had a chance to saw Jimmy Stalen. He just had gone up to Amesbury, Newburyport the year before, and I'll tell you a funny story. He went up there, and they were undefeated, and they played Newburyport, and Jimmy Stalen, the legendary coach up at Newburyport that we're talking about, and he kicked a field goal to win the ball game against Newburyport, and he broke a window at Newburyport. Those that don't know, up at the beautiful field, it's like a mini Manning Bowl, but on the far side away from the field, there's an old house that used to stand behind the goalpost, and he put a ball right through the window and broke it, and he felt so bad that he wrote a letter of apology to the woman who owned the house. And Jimmy Stalen, last year, 2 years ago, Mike went up to do the Amesbury-Newburyport game. He saw Jimmy Stalen, and Jimmy Stalen said he had still kept that letter from 1970. So he was reminiscing about that. But more importantly than all these things we talk about football is his dad was in and out of the hospital recently. And I just want to give a shout-out to Dick Lynch, a great coach, a good friend of mine, probably the best coach that I ever saw around here, winning state tournaments in basketball and football. And he's a battler. He's coming up to 90 years old, and he's really hanging in there. And he still talks nothing about high school sports, and especially football and basketball, which was a love of his. So it was nice reminiscing and catching up a little bit with Mike over at Swampscott yesterday.
Yeah, you know, his dad, John, I think I've told this story. The first time when I was at WESX years ago, the first school I went to do a basketball game, very first athletic director I met was Dick Lynch over in Danvers. And, yeah, definitely. And then what a career he had as a coach over in Swampscott, and then, of course, as AD in Danvers and so on. Yeah, so get well, Coach Lynch, absolutely.
You know, funny thing, I'll leave you Particularly the toughness of Dick Lynch. I'll leave you with one final really quick comment. I remember talking to him recently, and they dedicated a couple of years ago the gym in Swampscott to him, and he was really pumped up about that, the high school basketball court. But his famous quote of all time is somebody said to him, you know, Dick, I know you want to win, but you can't win them all. And he says, why not? And he really believes that, and that's how he lives his life. If you're going to play the game, you're going to play it full, and there's no reason why you can't win them all. So a little shout-out to Dick, and it was great catching up with Mike yesterday.
You know, I got a couple of other scores just to add in here. D5, Newburyport shut out Weston in the tournament, so they move on. Lynn Tech last night defeated Marion Keefe Tech 43-8. And let me see. I thought there I had one other one. I'm sorry. Well, Saugus in non-league play beat Pentucket 35-21. And we mentioned, those are most of the local teams that we have. So those are the games from yesterday. And we got matchups coming up again this week. Anything else, John, you want to share with us or Tim?
Well, you know, a couple final thoughts that I had. English, you talked a little bit about English and the great performance they had the other night winning 35-36-0 over Winchester. But they got a tough game coming up against Billerica this week, and also Danvers winning that big game that you and Timmy did on Friday night over at Manning Field. They got a tough one, Tewksbury. But Lynn English, as I look at the season in review right now, I think Lynn English is one of the top teams in the North Shore. They're going to be very tough to beat. They're playing well. They're on stillness. They got a lot of different athletes. And probably the other team that I consider probably the second team in the North Shore is Marblehead, and they got all they could handle the other night. Andy Clough had another great game, and they had a great effort from many players over there. English and Marblehead and Tech and St. Mary's. We didn't really touch upon St. Mary's. The Mary's absolutely had a great game. And, Calvin Johnson had two more TVs. James Brenfield had a great game. And they're going to be really, really something, you know. And a couple other little things that I noticed over the weekend that teams, that Masco win was a real big win at Masco. What an exciting game that was with Coach Monaco's son, Davin Monaco, catching a pass with 6 seconds left as they beat Woburn 20-17. And another name that came from the past, Isaiah Caldo, who played at Fenwick for 3 years, had 150 yards for Coach Belcher over Woburn. And that was a big win for Masco. But by the favor that they get is they play an undefeated Lincoln Sudbury team this week. But we still have a lot of teams on the North Shore very much alive. And I'm really looking forward to the semifinals coming up next weekend.
Tim, maybe you could chime in on Danvers. You and I were at the Classical Danvers game on Friday night, and Danvers comes back, beats Classical after they lost to them 28-14 during the regular season.
Yeah, you know, thinking back about that game, that first matchup, you know, Tyce Coakley went out of that game injured, and you know, you tried to extrapolate, you know, how different that game might have been had he not got injured. And there were three or four other Danvers kids who got nicked up and either didn't return or were very limited on their ability when they came back. Because Classical was just so physical with them that night. And I even questioned, would Danvers tire in the fourth quarter? And it appeared that they did. There was no tiring this on Friday night. In the first game, they also played soft. And the secondary and the linebackers, they allowed Ridley to get through that first line and get deep into the second level where he could use his speed because he ran for 180 yards. Also, when his little side outs to Butler and the other receivers, Davis was playing really soft, so they were allowed to catch the ball, turn, and head upfield and begin to pick the route that they wanted to take. Friday night, there was none of that. Davis sustained great pressure. They filled things. They clogged in the lanes so that Ridley had no place to run to. They made him hurry his passes. He wasn't on his deep pass. His side outs, they were hit right away. As soon as they caught the ball, turned around, they were getting hit by the cover man. And then there were two or three guys to cement the tackle. I mean, the side outs went nowhere. They really limited Classical's ability to go down the field. And I think that was the biggest change in Davis's philosophy. Plus, they had a fully healthy squad because they had a fully healthy Taj Coakley, and he was a difference maker in that game.
Yeah. They had a great game. Classical, I think, you know, had some penalties, made a few mistakes, which they hadn't been doing And you can't do that against a team that is, as you just described it, Tim, for sure. Well, one other note here. So Danvers will now play at Tewksbury on Saturday. That's their next game. Marblehead, you know, there's another team we didn't really talk too much about. They beat Wakefield 28-14, and they'll play host to Wilmington this coming Friday night in the next round of the D4 tournament. With that team playing the winner of the Melrose North Reading game, which is another semifinal game in that division, Division 4 North.
Yeah, that's a real tough division, guys. Marblehead's got a real tough one with Wilmington. Wilmington's only lost one game in that Middlesex League, and they're going to have a tough game. But they continue to roll on. Coach Ridloff doing it with Meris. He's getting healthy over there. Andy Clough had another great game with 88 yards rushing, 168 yards passing, two TDs. Derek Marino had a big 44-yard reception, and Timmy Cronin, a sophomore back, had 109 yards rushing and two big sacks late in the game. They're very happy with his input, and he's one of the beneficiaries of a sophomore getting to play with all those injuries they had there. But they got a real tough game with Wilmington, and then the prize for that is Melrose. That's the only division, guys, where the top four teams move on to the semifinals. Marblehead, Wilmington, Melrose, and North Reading. And Marblehead had North Reading last year in the tournament, but that Melrose team is undefeated from them. They're the top team, one of the top two teams, them and Lexington, that Middlesex League, so that they get their work cut out for them next week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's never an easy haul for the Northeast Conference as we get down into the, especially into the, you know, that second round, because you do draw those tough teams. You know, Tewksbury has just been lethal to the Northeast Conference over the years.
Go back to D4, which John, you were just talking about. North Reading defeated Wayland 17-14, Melrose 14-10 over Dracut. Melrose 7-0 right now. They are that number one seed. Marblehead, the number two seed. So we'll see how that plays out again. Again, it's North Reading at Melrose Friday, and then Wilmington at Marblehead Friday in the D4 North. Well, gentlemen, I think we're pretty well done here, unless you have anything else, John, that you want to share with us on our weekend football scoreboard show.
One final thing, Billy, is we talked earlier a little bit about one of the Marblehead former players, Derek Dume. They had a great win at UMass yesterday. Derek's a redshirt sophomore starting at center for UMass. They won their second game. They beat Appalachian State in double overtime at UMass Amherst, and he's really excited about that. And the reward for that is they go down to Mississippi State this week and play Mississippi State. Talk about big-time football and a great experience down there. We may try to hook up with Derek out at Amherst this week. And then the following week they play in that football rivalry in the Fenway Special, where they play my alma mater, UMaine, at Fenway Park, which I'm going to go to see. And maybe we can hook up something with him when we go in. When I go in there, they play UMaine, and UMaine beat William Mary yesterday. So that should be a great matchup, a great opportunity, and it's great for to see football back at Fenway Park. So we can maybe hook up with Derek. Just a little shout out to Derek. He's doing a great job, and he's probably excited, and he should have a big week before he goes down to Mississippi State next week.
Tip.
John, while we're talking about UMass, what is the condition of Ford? I know they took him off on a stretcher yesterday after that vicious hit that he took.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I know the backup Camo played the rest of the ball game, and he had a great game. But I did not hear anything. I haven't talked to Derek this week. Usually, I talk to him through his dad, but I didn't hear anything of that. Camo ended up finishing the game and throwing a touchdown pass late in the game to tie that game up. But no, I have not heard anything, Timmy, but hopefully everything will work out well for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, there you go. John Squires, Tim Kearns, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be announcing our broadcast plans a little bit later on this week. And again, thanks so much for joining us. This is the North Shore High School Football Scoreboard on MSONewsSports.com.